Bop. Bop, bop. Boop, bop. Tuesday. Tim and Joel pod. Tim and Joel calling it in the ring. I guess. If we must. I don't know. Pack it in. No. AEW is still around and GCW has been picking it up. We're okay. There's fallbacks.
That's true. And you know what? If you don't want to be a fallback for us, go ahead. Toss a like on this video while you're here. If you're listening to us in podcast form, go ahead. Drop a 5-star review. I'd appreciate it. So would Tim. It gets us a little bit closer to getting into your friends' ears, where I swear to God, we don't always act this way when it comes to wrestling. We're usually really positive human beings. We're usually really into the stuff we talk about. But Tim, I don't know about you. Raw was very difficult.
Maybe I just don't like wrestling no more. Maybe that's what Raw's done to me. I just don't care anymore.
Are you trying to say that maybe we should stop watching? Stop watching what you don't like? Turn it off?
Maybe. We might have to just change to the good stuff. Because there's plenty of good stuff. There's no shortage of it. And there's too much wrestling, and I'm getting sick and tired of it. Because I just don't care.
There's some good stuff out there. Raw broke me. I see people in our chat saying the same. I saw firsthand in our Discord, by the way. You can go ahead, join us there as well. We talk about all the shows. And like I said, we're usually much more positive. But let's get into Raw. There was some good. I found some good, but
there was, I didn't find a lot. I don't know. I'm just, where I'm at is like, I don't know if it's just always been bad. And I've just, you know, gotten tired of seeing the same thing over and over again because I'm older now. That's a strong possibility. I don't know. Is wrestling. I feel to the point where I can't mock any other person for any show that they enjoy because I watch wrestling.
It's true.
Like, it's literally the lowest form of entertainment. No offense, loyal viewers. Like, it's just like, man. If you're criticizing anybody else's viewing habits, you have no right to. Just know that.
And that's the thing. We listen, like, we can clown about just about anything when it comes to TV and it comes to shows. I can't watch certain reality TV shows, but I'm also not going to sit there and be same. Like, hey, if you listen to this show, it's garbage. Or if you watch this show, it's garbage. I don't know any better.
Yeah, ain't my bag. I just killed my video for a second. Ain't my bag, but, you know, I don't know. This is something.
Let's open up with some good stuff. Well, maybe not. We'll find good things in the stuff we discuss. How about that?
All right. Let's do it up.
Viking Raiders taking on AJ and Omos.
I like the Viking Raiders. I like AJ and Omos. There's no point in seeing them again together.
There you go. There was absolutely no point in redoing this match. But we're in a holding pattern, Tim.
Just hold. Hold.
Centered. Passes to field. Anyway. goal. We're waiting for Randy. We're waiting for Randy Orton to come back, and we'll explain why in a minute. But the match was fine. AJ hitting a 450 splash at, you know, 40 plus, 44, 45, whatever years old. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's pretty amazing.
Again, Omos, most pro athletes are retired by 40, which is, anyway, it's good to see he's still got the chops at least. So he's not just another one of those old guys who won't give up the business.
Omos is improving. I like AJ still working with Omos. I like that Omos is being surrounded with people who can help him do this job. And he's also being saved by live events. Having live events back helps Omos learn on the fly instead of being stuck in a PC with, you know, no peers and no reaction.
Yeah, or in the PC's case, just a confusing, miserable reaction from strange Floridians.
Instead, we get strange cans. We're going to get to that. I know.
We are.
So Viking Raiders lose. We didn't, you know, we expected.
What a surprise that was. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Some of the conversations have revolved around turning the Viking Raiders heel. What do you think about the option? Mm-mm. Why not?
Because I'm not going to care about that. It's they're Vikings. What are they going to do? Are they going to actually, like, rape and pillage? They're like, Jesus.
Jesus, no.
Exactly. They're Vikings. They're a comedy bit. If they have to drop their gimmicks entirely.
That's what they would do, though. They would have to drop the gimmick. That's the only way
to
do it. And then
what? They join the Alpha Academy. There you go. Boom.
They shave their beards.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, listen, Eric already has the shaved head, but you can do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that would be terrible. But, you know, I don't know. This current stuff is pretty terrible. So do what you want with them. I don't care. They're talented wrestlers.
They are. And I'm ready for something else for the Viking Raiders. Because they brought him back at WrestleMania. What did we do with them? Nothing.
They're so talented, too. It drives me nuts. I really, really enjoy them. It's just, yeah, I don't know. The last good program they had, and I even know this was controversial, was the one with the Street Profits.
Yeah.
Like, that was the last time I cared. I loved it. I don't know what people's complaints are. If their complaint is that it was too hokey and cartoony, once again, it has been this way the entirety of its existence. Like...
Yes, and it was kitschy, but it was kitschy because both teams are kitschy.
You watch a testosterone-fueled soap opera. You should know this by now.
I'm trying something different when it comes to Raw moving forward, or at least when I do another watch through, which I don't do all 3 hours. I'll skip and choose through stuff.
Yeah.
Ariel Helwani, who many people know as an MMA reporter, but he's also a big wrestling fan. And he had tweeted out last night that he watches wrestling with his kids, and now he is trying to see wrestling, WWE specifically, through the eyes of children, because that is who WWE inevitably is marketed towards.
Yeah, which is when I stopped watching wrestling was when that became very apparent to me. And now I'm back because you dragged my ass back. But
dragging you back to the dead.
Yeah.
Either way, I like the idea of trying to do it because at least it gives me a different perspective. Am I this version of me as I stand here today, am I gonna like everything? No, but is maybe 8-year-old me gonna be into something?
Absolutely. Here's the thing for me, like, that doesn't work for me because, like, and this is just a philosophical difference, no judgment on anyone who, like, has their kids watch wrestling. When I have children, I will not allow them to watch this for a good long time because I don't think this is a healthy thing for children to watch, but it's a personal opinion. It's just, this is, it's like ridiculously violent and leans too heavily into a number of problematic attitudes and stereotypes and worldviews that I don't think children have the emotional reasoning to properly understand until they're like preteens. So
I don't disagree with you.
No child of mine will be watching this because I don't think it's healthy for them. Personal.
And I've had this discussion with my partner as well as we prepare to, you know, start having kids and all that stuff. And she is vehemently against me watching with the kid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's fine. I get it. You know, and I joke to her all the time. I'm like, no, right out of the womb, that kid's going to watch whatever I turn on. It's going to learn everything about the business right from here. But I agree with you. It is not necessarily something, and again, these are opinions, these aren't facts. This is not necessarily a way that I would bring up my kids, at least not for a while.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway. Like, eventually, for sure, it's just, I don't like it being marketed to children. I don't think it's a children's show. I think it's better for, like, young teenagers, preteens, like I said, fine. You know, they grow up. They can understand more complicated, more nuanced things, but, like, I don't know.
It is something that we're trying to kind of move towards when it comes to, like, parents involving their kids. It's more that you're doing it as a, in that 10, 11 age range. That's, like, the youngest that they would be starting.
Yeah,
I think that's exactly, when WWE sees that as the entry point.
Exactly, which, like, is, it's a little earlier than I would, but it's not off by much, so.
Right. Well, let's move along. John Morrison and Riddle had a really fun match. As we expected, it really shocks no one that these two can go and that there's a lot of chemistry. And Riddle was cheered heavily. People were really into it.
Yeah, I think he's over, you know, like, it's a funny bit. He's RVD, but openly RVD, you know, he doesn't have to hide it.
And also he got the John Cena rub last week. Can't forget that. Came out and did the thing. And that helps. I think, you know, perception is reality with something like that. Cena was also at Raw, was not used on air, which I found perplexing.
What? He was there? And just match. Didn't use it? What the
fuck? It's very strange. No idea why.
Creative had nothing for him. Sorry, John Cena.
Yeah, exactly. Go hang out in catering and we'll call you at 11. Just do your thing, John.
Make sure to run any ideas you have by Vince.
Yeah, exactly. But do it before 9, because once the show is written, it's done. Anyway, John Morrison was also really over with the crowd, and that was a little bit shocking to me because John Morrison came back immediately, went to The Miz, and next thing you knew, he was just in that random tag team.
Bad Bunny, baby. That did it, I think. I think it put them both over. I really think it put them. It was him with the Canadian Destroyer. So
that's true.
Receiving it. But you know, when you're receiving it, you're the one doing half the work. But like,
nostalgia fans from 10 years ago who may be coming back to wrestling few and far between as they are, they may be into John Morrison.
Yeah.
Because if you're following him, you know, he went away, he came back, he made a name for himself in a couple of other promotions. And he was popular when he was in WWE, but he was never seen as the main attraction, which is fine. I don't think John Morrison cares.
No, he never did. He's happy to just go out there and do his best, do the work, look good while doing it.
He does look good when he does it. Yeah. They're backstage before the match, and AJ and Omos walked up to John Morrison and Miz. And AJ, John Morrison, and Miz start hatching up a plan as Omos blocks the camera.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It was good.
So silly, so stupid.
That was all right. Good little bit. Yeah, I feel like, yeah, Raw did have a lot of good little bits. It's just so, like, they were really rationing out the plot development this week. It was just like, okay, just a little tiny bit because we got to spread this out over 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's a slog because they've got now 3-4 weeks until SummerSlam, and there's so much stuff that it's going to change, and we're going to get to that very shortly. John Morrison in the match saves his finish, doing Starship Pain, almost gets himself caught on the ropes.
As always.
But he recovers.
It's always pretty hairy. Yeah, it was good.
He hit the move. He got it. Riddle gets beat down post-match by Omos and AJ because Randy's coming back.
Yeah. Poor Riddle. Why is Randy out? Where is Randy? What is going on? You know? Does anyone know?
Unavailable for the last few weeks as COVID. Select has put. They're hoping he's back next Monday. So, fingers crossed. I would love to see this continue. Just move forward. Let's go.
Yeah.
Speaking of moving forward, Nikki A.S.H. and Charlotte. Nikki A.S.H. as we have been conditioned to call her. God,
beaten down with, just clubbed me with that awful, awful idea.
So, Charlotte comes out. Nikki comes out at first, and she does
Nikki opens Raw. Yeah, she's very excited to open Raw in the blandest way possible.
She's excited, Tim. Let her be excited.
I'm happy for her. I'm happy for, once again, the children.
The children are happy. I was happy. I was happy to see Nikki Cross get her roses, do something that she says she wanted to do. I'll take it at face value. This is her wanting to open up the show.
Yeah, and she's a champion. You know, once again, she opens it with bootstrapping horse shit, which I'm never a fan of, but whatever. America.
Charlotte comes out, tears down Nikki, tears down like her get up, gets good heat, does the right thing, but also event like calls her like the a Marvel opportunity. Ripoff.
Yeah, that's boring, lazy line.
But then she does it, Tim.
What's she doing?
She cuts an all you people promo.
Yeah, she did. She did cut an all you people promo because it's those people that created the monstrosity of Nikki A.S.H.
Oh, baby, we are back. So Rhea comes out. Rhea's in the middle of all this thing for some reason. I don't know why. But
troll Rhea again with just that shit eating grin, doing nothing.
And what was her? Something was on her top that people were pointing out. It was like, did you summon me or you summoned me with a question mark?
Oh, I hope they're not trying. Okay.
Cool. I was like, what is the Beetlejuice?
She's Beetlejuice now.
By the way, speaking of Beetlejuice and other characters, I did like Nikki actually explaining her character to the crowd because it's nice to reaffirm. She's like, I'm not a superhero. The reason why I call myself almost a superhero is because when I dress like this, I believe I can achieve things. I'm fine. Again, I'm
fine. Yeah, I agree. I think that's better than saying she is a superhero. But we've already seen that, too, with the Hurricane and Mighty Molly, right?
No, like, Hurricane thought he was a superhero.
And
he
played S-H-I-T. No, that's what I mean. We've already seen the opposite. So they can't do that, right? Like they're
So you're saying making it more meta is a better approach in this case.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. Gotcha. I think the more they drift away from overt spooky shit, you know, like it's difficult to pull off nowadays.
So we're waiting again, Tim.
Yeah, we're waiting for another A-plus player.
This time we're waiting for Becky. I'm guaranteeing you this triple threat match is not going to happen at SummerSlam.
That's a strong guarantee. I would it doesn't seem like it will, because Becky is imminent.
The only way that this sticks as a triple threat is if Charlotte wins the title at SummerSlam and the next night on Raw,
Becky
has not shown up yet, Becky comes out and now that feud starts.
Is it the same city? They do the pay-per-view, then they do the Raw? No.
No, they're Vegas, and then I think they're San Diego or somewhere in California the next night.
Yeah, I don't know then. Yeah.
Not the next night, two nights later, because Saturday,
SummerSlam. Saturday. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. SummerSlam's on a Saturday, TakeOver's on a Sunday. Who knows?
Yeah.
Being asked if Becky's interested in coming back, she is. She is interested in coming back.
I think the plan is to have her come back pretty soon, actually.
Like, the plan was to have her come back the week that Nikki won the title, but instead they decided to pull the audible and do Nikki with the title. Because again, I assume Vince saw the calendar, said, oh, we got 5 weeks. What do we do?
Dilute.
So what does he do? He does what Vince does. He's got 5 weeks. He gets confused with himself. By the way, there's been 5 weeks between pay-per-views for years, and this is what he's going to do. He's going to go with the match and then change it in the last second, and there you go. That's what it is. Triple threats are absurd. Triple threats are useless. The only reason they do triple threats is because they don't want one person to lose.
Yeah, I don't know. And Sonya's justification was awful.
The only logical thing
is to give you two losers a rematch. Like,
but first we have to have a match to determine whether or not you should get another match to determine whether or not the third match should be for the championship.
Yeah, and Charlotte wins, and Nikki's proud that she, as the champion, couldn't win. It was awful. That whole post-match promo was garbage. It's just like, no, I don't care. Like, are you accomplishing things or are you not? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm all, whatever, dust yourself off after your failures. But like, I lost, and that made me realize that I can win. I'm like, what? you lost pretty bad. Like,
on the sports side of things, it makes no sense.
No.
On the wrestler superhero gimmick side of things, the only way it makes sense, and I hate having to do the mental gymnastics to get here, the only way that it makes sense is that she is a superhero. She wants to avenge the loss. She thinks she can get a little bit better by getting a little bit down, and she just got down, so now she's going to plow through the competition, and she's going to win. But the problem is, if she wins next week, all it's going to be is some sort of distraction or roll up.
Yeah, it won't be through her own capabilities. It just smacks of like bullied nerd platitude. That's all this feels like. And it's just like, I can't relate to this. Sorry.
So let's say Charlotte wins at SummerSlam and they do the Becky return the next night. And then at the next pay-per-view, it's either Night of Champions or Extreme Rules. I honestly can't remember because the calendar switched a bunch. Either way, the next show, what happens to Nikki? What do we do with her? Because she's now lost the Raw Women's Championship. She shouldn't get a rematch unless they're going to do a thing where she doesn't get pinned. Charlotte pins Rhea, and then Nikki's out. And then, you know, what do we do? How do we deal with Nikki?
She goes back to jobbing. They job her. They just put her out there to build other characters. That's what happens. Because that's where you go with. That's what happened with the Hurricane and Mighty Molly. Like, they were jobbers.
And the only rub that Hurricane had was when he interacted with The Rock and did the few weeks. But there was no championship around that.
That's the high point. And then you get some mid-card titles that you might hold very briefly in almost every case. Like, I don't think the Hurricane held anything for a long, long period of time. He had, like, the European Championship, I think, and Intercontinental. And the Cruiserweights. Then the Cruiserweights. He never had Intercontinental. Oh, my God. He didn't even have the IC, so okay.
Either way, so Nikki is basically just given the rub for about a month, is what you're thinking.
That's what I'm thinking, because that's what happens with characters like this. Like, I don't think it's going to, she's seeing the push right now and optimistic about it, right? But it doesn't end well with this. I don't think that it holds favor. There's currently, like, as many people have pointed out, still no merch.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it'll move when it does come out.
Well, no, because they're striking way too late. You're right.
Uh-huh.
And what could, you know, if even if they had waited and done something like cash in around Halloween, there's your answer. There's your merch opportunity.
No kid wants to be almost a superhero. They want to be the superhero. And they've got plenty of characters who are superheroes, right? They're gonna go for that person's merch.
Yeah, but who else wears cape like that?
You'll get the odd like shy child that will be into it, but they're not gonna be big merch movers.
Oh my goodness. So unfortunately you're right.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
To our real superheroes. Bobby Lashley and MVP.
Yeah. The Almighty. They're gods.
We're back. We're waiting, Tim. We're waiting again. This time we're waiting for Bill Goldberg.
Yeah, because once again, you include this nostalgia act that doesn't show up on the show ever, which makes every time he shows up always this way. He comes out, says, fumbles through a few words, and then disappears until the pay-per-view or the night before the show before the pay-per-view, where he again fumbles through a few more words. And then somehow they cut together a video package that way.
They're working on the Roman script. They did exactly what Roman did on Friday night, where he said, nope. Didn't exactly. Lashley didn't say no outright, but he said, you know, I'm not paying attention to Goldberg. Yeah. And then out come Shelton Benjamin, Cedric Alexander. Why?
And then he stacked them and they redid a Roman thing there too.
Thank you. I'm glad you said it.
Yeah.
Why would we do this match? First of all, when the Hurt Business broke up, they did 2 weeks of matches where Shelton and Cedric were demolished by Lashley.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe
devalued.
Maybe they came out and they thought they've been training since then. Cedric had a new vest, so maybe they thought they could hang now. They've been in the gym, not on TV for a little while. You know, they've been on TV, but not in any interesting capacity. The only reason they did this is to make Lashley look like a formidable opponent against Goldberg. Obviously, right? Like that's why they did this, to show that he might be able to hang to give the hope angle. And I don't know. Again, this could all be not that bad if the match doesn't last 3 entire minutes and Bobby Lashley wins, but I don't think so, because Goldberg only does the highlights. Like,
well, this match with Shelton and Cedric only went 3 minutes. They're really just trying to get them over, is it?
Yeah. Like it was just to build up Lashley as an actual threat to Goldberg, because he's not there for people yet, because everyone knows Goldberg is like a steamroller.
Seeing in the chat, I have no problem with Lashley being booked as a beast. Here's the thing. You do it by having him beat people who aren't people A, he just teamed with, B, has already beaten, and C, are further devalued as a result.
Yeah,
that's why not have Lucha House Party come out? They weren't on the show last night either. Why not have the 24/7 dorks come out?
Yeah, I do miss when they just had like local people come in as like nameless wrestlers and they just squash them. Like that really did add to this, because unfortunately, yeah, Cedric and Shelton could have been something good. Again, they could have rounded out their tag team division, which needs all of the membership it can get, but they don't care. So they broke up that team to ultimately get, did they even do the pay-per-view match? No, right? It just didn't turn into anything.
Oh, the multiple Shelton Cedric matches?
Yeah, they had multiple matches, but it never paid off. Like they never did the blow-off match, so it's just okay. Then Cedric almost feuded with Jeff Hardy.
Almost.
Yeah.
They did have one local talent show up last night. And that was Jinder's lawyer.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I assumed.
Arjun
Singh. That man's an attorney. He's like, no, the hell he is. He's got like,
way too tall, way too looking like a wrestler. It's fine. I didn't care. Arjun Every Singh time. Is his name, also known as Geek Singh. He was actually on Dark back in June of, I think it was 2020. So June 20th, he faced Angelico. Listen, Drew versus Veer, I don't want to get into it because the match was whatever.
Yeah,
it was fine. The Claymore, though, giving him the finger.
That was beautiful. Stuff. Well, he found the camera. It looked good. Like, that was a good segment. That was one of the highlights of the show.
Yes.
And it advanced the feud in a way, again, by inches, because they clearly had so much story that they're just diluting over time now. But, yeah.
They're also still... They're ignoring the story of Drew and Jinder. They've had so much history.
I know.
And they're throwing.
And I don't know any of it. I need a recap. Instead of playing the same bloody Nikki Ash recap twice, give me something catching me up on these two.
They're just assuming you're dumb.
That's funny. Yeah. I missed the first hour because they can't program their own show to be interesting enough to hold attention.
What about Mic'd Up R-Truth? What do you think? 24/7 flippity do?
Why? Why did it was weird? It felt like a house show. That feels like a house show shtick that you would do, right? Like,
it can be funny. It can be really funny, actually, because R-Truth is legit.
It's hilarious. Really, yeah.
I just think they didn't know what to say, and I think
they didn't.
He was probably told, "Don't take the mic off. Get Reggie over. That's it."
Which, you know, whatever. Like, he got Reggie over. He had tons of, I mean, you know, he fumbled a couple times, but that entrance was insane. Did he jump from the floor into the ring?
There was a trampoline.
Thank you. Okay. I was like, that's not humanly possible. So I like, and you only saw that low angle GIF shot, which is like, you know, good content. Bravo. Kudos for that, honestly. But like, it looked like he leapt from the floor into the ring. And I was like, he should be in Tokyo right now doing some shit, because that's some freak behavior.
He should be in Vegas working Cirque du Soleil, is what he should do.
Well, I mean, he should still be doing that, because it's a better gig than this. But he was very good. Yeah. He was very funny with the suit bit.
And that's fine. That's what's going to get him over, is that he's very flippy. He's very fast. He's great. Like, I'm fine with this. This is going to be the best opportunity right now that he can get. One thing was, this was the Sin Cara trampoline. That's what it was.
Okay. Yeah.
Remember Sin Cara?
Yeah, exactly. I do. Yeah.
So that's what that was. It was fine. It was a good little moment. That was one of my like positives coming out of it, is that as silly as Mic'd Up R-Truth was, it's only week one, and I know it has potential.
You think they're going to continue that?
100%.
It feels like a very we're back to live thing. So I don't know. Maybe I just got used to not live.
Vince loves R-Truth more than anybody in the history of loving R-Truth. Not that R-Truth is not universally loved, but like Vince has a very soft spot for R-Truth, and he just finds him hilarious. So I wouldn't doubt that earlier in the day, R-Truth was talking to Vince, said something funny. Vince cackled and said, "Give him a microphone." Why do I sound like Krusty when I do this?
I don't know. It really did sound like Krusty.
Give him a microphone and let him book Raw. Anyway.
Oh, God. That's Vince McMahon's nerd voice.
So anyway, that's 24/7. Sheamus, Damian Priest, champ getting beaten for a chance to beat the champ one more time.
My nose, he broke my nose. Yeah, one of the many of this.
Do you think someone poorly explained AEW's title eliminator gimmick to Vince?
100%. No, I mean, I don't know. They've been doing this forever.
Someone probably went up to him and said, no, because now they call it like the Champions Challenge or something, whatever.
Oh, my God.
And I feel like somebody went to Vince and was like, okay, here's how we change it up. So over on the competition, they had this thing. It's called the Title Eliminator. Okay, how does it go? Well, first, you have the challenger face the champion. Good. I love it. Let's do it.
Give me three, please.
Exactly. You want me to finish this? No, just go ahead and book it. So, I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to explain it and it just failed miserably. And here we are. So Damian Priest and Sheamus is fine.
It was fine. They're still feeling each other out. I see big potential when they ultimately have like a real match. Like, I don't know.
I assume it's SummerSlam in 3.5-4 weeks.
Here's hoping.
I'm fine with Damian Priest winning the US title. We've been talking about it for literally months. It's there. And then what's going to happen is Priest and you-know-who are going to have a match.
Wait, what?
Jackson Ryker.
Oh.
You know Priest. Title. You know Riker's next.
But then he has to be a heel, because Damian Priest ain't no heel.
I think after the Symphony of Destruction match and him not being on TV this week, I think Vince and Co figured it out.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, and I think, you know what? Whatever. I think that it's not going to be like Sheamus and Riddle where we see the same match, that the same very good match over and over again. I think they'll do like a slow build into what is hopefully an excellent match at SummerSlam.
Yeah, fine by me. Let's move on. Eva and Doudrop, 90s.
Oh, more of this.
I mean, it sucks that Natty is injured. I haven't heard anything beyond what anyone else has heard.
Didn't know she was. Okay.
She, in the middle of the match, towards the beginning of the match, tagged herself out, went onto the floor, was checked out by trainers. Tamina got the win and then helped Natty to the back along with the trainer. Don't know what's going on, but there's that. Apparently, Eva also had a bit of a wardrobe issue last night, too.
I didn't notice.
So I didn't notice until Denise Salcedo said something.
Barely paying attention.
I went back, rewatched the match today as I was doing my notes, and I was like, what happened? So Eva Marie's gear was all zippered in the back, and she was wearing a two-piece. So the top got unzipped from the bottom up. So, like, it was hanging on by a thread.
And I looked, one or two of the teeth. Yeah.
So, luckily, nothing happened. Everything's fine.
Whatever.
But it was just one of those moments where I was like, what the hell? Didn't notice it until it was brought to my attention. What do you think that of the Lonely Lucian?
I thought that was a funny-ish bit. It was all right. Again, it advances the story by a full inch. But it's fine. At least we're going with that. I mean, it telegraphed who was going to win pretty quickly, obviously, but you know, and then Tamina kicks her in the face and now we have to guess who they're going to drop the tag titles to. Not that it really matters because there's not that many tag teams, but
it's going to be Schnoxy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100% boring.
I don't know how they're going to do it because again, Schnoxy won the first two and they still have that title match coming. And Natty and Tamina have to win the third, so I don't know.
Yeah, Natty will go out there, won't do anything. Tamina will get pinned. Sorry, Tamina.
And it'll come down to whether or not Natty's injured enough to drop it, or if they relinquish, and whatever they do. Queen of the Ring was brought up. This is something that is happening in October, according to Andrew Zarian and Mattman Podcast. So the Queen of the Ring is coming up. It's going to be October. They're saying October 8th is going to start it, and the Raw on October 11th. First of all, I'd love to see Queen Dewdrop.
Sure. It's fine. I got no issue with it. I don't know. I don't know enough about... She's performed capably alongside Alexa Bliss, so that's good to see. And she's decent in the ring. I've seen... Yeah, like Piper Niven was awesome, so...
This could be the opportunity for her to say, I am not Queen Dewdrop, I am Queen Piper.
Piper Niven.
And there's nobody else. Like, you could do Eva Marie. Queen Eva Marie would be hilarious, but then Eva Marie would have to actually perform well. And that wasn't something she did tonight or last night.
No, or ever.
Or ever. There's no, like, not everyone, but a large contingent are saying, oh, it's the queen because it's Charlotte Flair and she's the queen.
Dude, she's the opportunity now. I think that's, that's too much of a, I think that's even too on the nose for WWE to do.
I agree. You know who else I could see getting that is maybe Shayna Baszler.
Yeah, that would be interesting. They're going to use it to build somebody. Yeah, because Queen of Spades thing.
Queen of Spades.
Yeah.
I can't think of anyone else. And that's why Queen Dewdrop to me is like the best case scenario. Queen Naomi, you could do that. She could be she did the B costume, Queen B. I doubt that's going to be a thing. But yeah, I like that it's an open field. I'm fine with that. But it won't be Charlotte. I'm 99% sure.
Yeah.
If they do Charlotte, then I have so many questions.
I mean, yeah, like, what are you doing? Because those things are very useful in building new talent, right? Like, that's mainly what that stuff is for. So
it's building new talent. It's also giving a new coat of paint to a talent who doesn't have a defined
gimmick
now. So I see like someone Baron in the chat saying, yeah, exactly. Well, Baron Corbin was made King Corbin because Vince said, why have a Baron when you can have a king? And next thing you knew, you had King Corbin. I see Queen Tony in the chat, but Tony Storm kind of has a gimmick right now, at least in her look and her style.
It'd be interesting. I don't think that's the thing. You can do the Queen of the Ring thing without doing the lame ass actual queen.
Like, what are you talking about? This is WWE and you know better.
They can't do it every single time. They didn't do it every single time for King of the Ring. So
yes, they can. Let's move on. Mansoor and Queen Shotzi. Let's do that. I'm fine with that. I'm all in for that.
Yeah.
Mansoor.
Oh, man. So, okay.
Mansoor and Ali taking on Mace and T-Bar. Mace and T-Bar are the best delusional heels, and I love it.
Extinction. Call them Extinction. What are you people doing?
They did your favorite promo again.
I know. They're doing it. Like, what are we doing?
You know what? This is all building to Mansoor and Ali winning the tag titles in Saudi Arabia. Once again, Matt Mann and Andrew Zarian. October, Saudi Arabia. We're going back, baby. Anyway.
All right. Cool. Everyone's complicit.
Speaking of everyone's complaining, Cross and Keith Lee. Someone had to lose.
It was so funny. Again, Cross comes out. They took away the most interesting thing about him. He comes out with his lame, sad, pissed off Aryan walk. Like,
Yeah,
he looks like he belongs in friggin' American History X. Like that's all I see when he walks out looking so miserable, just marching down with this doom cult music and no scarlet, no smoke, no black and white. Like,
Our friend Caleb in the chat is saying Brian Alvarez was saying that Keith Lee had tweeted out something in frustration about being buried and then deleted it, but no one else has seen it. And I agree. I haven't seen this tweet either.
Screenshots and I see people asking about it.
And normally people are on top of that shit. So I don't really,
I think Alvarez
is saying something about the original tweet and didn't really understand his own, whatever. I think he's just confused.
Like, you could automate that if I gave a shit enough about Keith Lee to automate all of his tweets, like recording his tweets.
Yeah, he doesn't that. Keith Lee tweets out of frustration, as he did on Monday. Again, vague tweeting. I'm sorry.
So much vague tweeting.
I like Keith Lee the wrestler. I am getting very sick of Keith Lee the human being.
Yeah, he's such a dork.
He's going to spend 2 weeks waiting to tell us about the thing that he thinks is so
crazy. Here's the thing. I don't care anymore, Keith. Yeah. I might have cared a long time ago. Now I don't.
And there's potential that he's going to tell the story and it's going to be so built up as like this huge, like, oh my God, I can't believe WWE did this to you. And I can't believe this happened to you. And I can't believe you did this and that and whatever. Or it's going to fall flat as hell.
Yeah.
He's built this up so heavy that no one, like, I don't know if he'll actually live up to the expectations.
Yeah.
Anyway, Cross has zero reaction.
Yeah. The crowd is so flat for him. But because once again, they've taken away his very good entrance for reasons unclear to me. Like,
Scarlett was playing damage control on Twitter. They have no plans. Her being like, this is only the beginning. And it's like, no, it's not because you're tweeting this and you don't know any better than we do. They don't have plans to bring you up with him.
It's weird. Why are they doing this? Like, Vince is mad at Trips. That's the only answer.
I wouldn't go that far. No. But Cross was supposed to lose again, apparently, last night. Per Fightful Select. He was on the schedule to lose. But of course, because Jeff Hardy tested positive for COVID, that threw a wrench in the plans. For some reason, Keith Lee was brought into the match. And then there you go. Match happened. Cross got the win.
And nobody got their shoulder hurt this time. Good stuff.
This time.
Maybe next time.
That was Raw, dude. We got it. We're gonna change some shit up with this format. And we might have to change some times. Keep an eye out, friends. We might change when the show goes live and what we do.
Plans do change. Our plans change.
Anyway. Our plans can change just as much as yours, WWE. We can do it.
We can do it. We can keep up with you.
Keep an eye out over on our socials and on our Discord. Go ahead, join the Discord if you haven't yet. Like the video, because I swear to God, here's the happy stuff. Let's talk about Dynamite!
Pretty good episode. Much better than everything. And now things are coming up. It's going to be another good episode.
Yes, Fight for the Fallen this week. By the way, it's not lost on me that they're running a weekly gore match and some sort of gimmick show every week since they went back on the road. And it's been fine because they backed it up.
Yeah, once again, they're doing what WWE doesn't want to do. Yeah, I like seeing it. I like a little bit of color. I like seeing pile drivers in the ring. Like, give me that actual contrast. This one ain't made for children, despite the very many children in the audience.
Did you see in that Lance Archer Mox match, there was a kid in the audience that had a sign that said, "My first death match."
I did see that. And this is what I'm talking about. Whatever.
Y'all can start him young.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you got to make Florida man doesn't come out of nowhere, sir. No, they're not even Florida. That was Texas, yeah?
They're in Texas this week.
Texas, whatever.
Texas. Somewhere. All right, Painmaking Chris versus Nick Gage in the Labors of Jericho, Chapter 2.
Murder Clown versus Nightmare Man. Got it.
Pizza Cutters, maybe a single light tube. Do you think new GCW champion Matthew Cardona makes an appearance?
They got the ins, but... maybe with all the buzz, Tony Khan might have picked up that phone.
I mean, Cardona's worked for the promotion before. Why not do it, right? So bring him in for a single one. Have him do something to Gage. Jericho's going to win.
Maybe that's how Jericho wins, is via Cardona's assistance. I would appreciate that schmoz finish, honestly.
But that's the thing. Like, between Cardona and the Mox and Gage, it's like Cardona and Gage just had a thing. Mox and Gage have a thing coming up, presumably in Vegas. They got to get to that, and Mox just lost the title, so this is a good way to get him back on the case. I don't know. There's
just
something.
Just have everyone come out and beat the shit out of Nick Gage so that Jericho wins.
Pretty much. What are the odds like of Nick Gage?
The many enemies of Nick Gage.
What are the odds that Nick Gage takes out MJF after he loses the match?
Oh, God. I don't want that. No. Leave that alone. He's busy enough. Well, that's I don't think that Nick Gage is going to be an AEW feature player. I think they'll pull him in here and there, but I don't think he will be working with them consistently.
They're doing it because of the stories and the stuff that Mox is doing. There's a buzz around having him come in. People have been wanting it since pre-pandemic, so this was the time to do it. Everyone was shocked last week when they said Nick Gage's name and he comes out with his pizza cutter, which I left in the drawer. I forgot.
That's fine.
Anyway, whatever. It's fine. I'm fine with that. It was really cool having Nick Gage, and I'm excited for Wednesday for that. I'm also excited for FTR versus Pride and Powerful. This is the first match of, I assume, 5, because we've been talking about it, and I got to will it into existence.
Yeah.
FTR is home. Match is going to be at their homestead in North Carolina.
North Carolina, yeah. Woo. I can't even make fun of North Carolina. I know nothing about North Carolina. Barely exists.
Nice people out there.
I'm sure there are. Well, there's nice people everywhere. People are people. Yeah.
Florida, you know.
There's nice people in Florida. You got Miami. There's some nice people there.
That's true. A lot of neon cocaine. So best of 5 and maybe a gimmick match at All Out and or at Arthur Ashe Stadium. Because I assume if you're going to do a match on FTR's home soil, you've got to do a match on Pride and Powerful. 100%.
Yeah, I think they're building. Like you said, like best of 5. They're going to drag this out. You know, they're talking about each other's mamas, their upbringing. It's getting deep.
Each other on some sort of trial basis every single time they talk.
Presumably FTR will both bleed horrendously from freak accidents again because they can't seem to not bleed.
Oh, I wonder. I don't think they're going to let that happen again.
He keeps getting busted open.
Yeah, I think if they do get busted open, I think it'll be hard way because Chris and Gage, Jericho and Gage has to be only blood of the night to make it really impactful. Let's move along. Ricky Starks has his FTW championship celebration.
Yeah, we get to see what that celebration is going to be.
It'll be nice. It'll be great. I'm not going to do the hook gimmick because we're short on time. Do you think Mrs. Cage shows up?
Who's Mrs. Cage again?
Melissa wife Santos.
I know she's a wrestler, but I don't know.
She's been a ring announcer. She's done stuff for Impact. She's done stuff for Lucha Underground.
Is Ricky Starks going to be like... Is she going to be partying with Ricky Starks? How does this work? Well,
he made an allusion to wives.
Yeah, he did. The W. Which, I mean, man, they really don't know what that W refers to. Because they kept saying the FTW World Championship. And I understood.
Stands for wife?
If that's the case, sure, perfect. You can say the FTW World Championship. But if it's like, you know, I don't know, it doesn't make much sense.
Either way, we'll look forward to that one. Christian Cage and Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy take on Hardy Family Office, Angelico, and Private Party in 6-man tag action. Totally forgot this match was happening until I found it. The Turn, is it coming tomorrow? Christian Cage going to beat everyone up?
I think it's still a little ways away. I don't think we're there yet. So yeah.
Fine with me. I got nothing else to say about this match. It's happening.
No, it's fine. Jungle Boy looked a little concerned. That's about it.
Same thing, like Thunder Rosa and Julia Hart is apparently announced. Cool. Thunder Rosa is All Elite. We talked about this last week on our Sunday show.
Yeah.
Great. She'll win the match, and then that'll be that. For the IWGP US Heavyweight Championship, the new champion, Lance Archer, takes on Hikuleo from New Japan. Excited for this because I haven't seen Hikuleo much, but I'm excited for any child of Ming to attempt murder on someone who is ready for murder.
Yeah. This sounds like it's going to be really interesting, I think. Yeah. Yeah. It's good. It's good that AEW has found a way to give itself secondary championships and round the card out and round the stakes out without introducing a billion championships like the WWE by using other people's championships.
You're right. And that's the thing. They're using other people's championships, not making them sound, because it's not the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. It's the U.S. title. It's their, almost their tertiary program. Well, when they had the Intercontinental Championship, it was the tertiary. Now it's their secondary. Either way, this New Japan AEW relationship of sorts, it's heating up in the in the best possible way.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good stuff. And you know, I think it's helping both people in this. Like, this is actually a two-way street, unlike Impact.
Oh, Impact.
We'll it's helping Impact and not at all AEW. But, like, I don't know. I guess they stand to gain very little other than the good brothers coming out and swinging their belts.
Yeah, exactly. Tony Khan makes an event announcement. Listen, if the Punk rumors are true and they want to pick up steam, announce the United Center in Chicago as your next big quarterly event on TBS, or you have Revolution announced as the location in, I guess that's February. That's far away, though.
That does seem far. I don't know. Yeah.
But Tony Khan making an event announcement. We'll see. They are donating $100,000 to charity because of the Fight for the Fallen stuff. So that's going to be cool. I'm sure that'll be part of it. And finally, the main event, the Elite take on Adam Page and the Dark Order in a 10-man elimination tag match.
I am very excited for this. This is good.
They're going to give this match time. They have to. Like, it's got to go 30 minutes with 10 of them.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I mean, it'll be good. They'll make use of every bit of it, I think.
I hope so. If Dark Order and Adam Page win, the all-out matches are set, the tag titles and the AEW World Championship. It'll be Adam Page and Kenny Omega. And then for the tag titles, this is where it gets interesting. Silver, Reynolds, Uno, and Grayson are in this match. On BTE, they kind of hinted at Uno and Grayson getting it, but they kind of teased, like, I don't know who will take the AEW title match. I think they should introduce the Impact titles as another set of championships to bring in and challenge. And 100%. Do it at another event. Do it at Bound for Glory.
Yep.
Right? And have Silver and Reynolds get the match against the Good Brothers.
I think that would be very, very, very good. Like, that would be so interesting. You could build it all up. Give everyone the titles. Then the rest of the Dark Order can compete for them amongst each other.
the best of the best. Yeah. Maybe Brandon Cutler will go after one of those titles. Anyway, watch BTE. It's fun. Is there anything else on Dynamite? I think that's it for my rundown there.
Now, so, someone asked earlier, but if I was talking about Cash or Dax, which one's the bald one? Is it Dax?
Dax. Think of Dax.
Yeah, he's the one who keeps busting his damn head open.
Well, when you got no hair, it's hard to cover up.
I don't bleed that much from the skull.
All right, we got a few minutes. NXT, we're not live, pal, this week.
Oh, no.
Well, here's some matches going on.
They're
on Sci-Fi. We're not gonna spoil anything. So if you're listening before you've watched, we're not spoiling. Let's get into it. Pete Dunne, Oney Lorcan are gonna take on Tommy and Timmy. It'll be a hard-hitting affair. Looking forward to that. It looks like after last week's Imperium cut-in during the MSK promo that we're going towards.
They don't respect them having any joy.
What does MSK stand for?
I think it means, like, I think they came up with it, and like you joked, middle school kids, but they're never gonna say that ever.
Oh, the marijuana smoking kids.
Yeah, could be that. Yeah,
it's, there were so many. We've done this bit for weeks, and now it's just in the ground. Joe Cross, Regal.
Oh, not Regal. No, look what they did to my boy.
They laid him out in the street, man, in the parking lot.
Yep. Like, just bastards. Someone called Jeff Hardy, damn it.
Well, not for 2 weeks. Joe is
angry. No. Get him in there. I have a feeling that Cross might not be vaccinated.
Jesus Christ. You have to be to go back on the road.
Oh, that's good.
Joe is angry. Regal's angry. Cross is out he's lost his mind. And he lost a match last week.
Yeah, he seems exactly the same to me. If anything, he's just a watered down threat.
This has already been announced. You'll see it tonight. Cross versus Joe at TakeOver. I'm going to tell you right now, friends, don't be surprised when Karrion Kross wins that match.
Please, no. Just don't, just saying. Though. Yeah.
Let's talk about Grimes the Butler, because Drake Maverick did it, buddy.
Yeah.
You called it. That was you.
He got his ass beat for it, but yeah.
But you got it. You said he was going to defeat LA Knight, and he did. Yeah.
Yeah. He was too busy. It's hard to manage people and win your matches, you know?
Are we going to do a third match for Grimes and Knight down the road? What do you think?
I mean, I guess, yeah. Grimes seems totally content to be his butler, though. So what are they going to fight about? Like,
maybe it's for the emancipation of Cameron Grimes.
Oh no. Okay.
Listen, I know that sounds awful, but it's the first thing I thought of. I don't want to call it the freedom of Cameron Grimes because that's much worse. Speaking of which, Xia Li and Raquel Gonzalez. Oof. Xia Li went down hard. Luckily, not injured. They went right to that finish.
Yeah, then that, it, I don't know. It came back from the, yeah, yeah. Well, whatever, tit for tat.
Yeah, so tonight
Raquel standing Gonzalez, up for her friend.
So Raquel tonight is going to put the women's division on notice. I wonder where that could mean. Or you could just read the spoilers and find out for yourselves. The mariachi celebration last week, it was so close to a traditional mariachi gimmick. So close. And like you said, the guy in the front row in Florida, hit roll!
So drunk. He did it for so long.
I was so upset. I was losing my shit. So awful. Oh. They can't do the same six-man tag that they just did with Bronson Reed and all that, because they can't do the same, you know, putting up the tag titles and the North American titles down the line. It wouldn't work.
Yeah,
so I'm fine with just doing Escobar and Swerve. And it feels like we'll get to that.
Yeah, yeah. And it'll slap.
And there's no other reason. There's no reason at all, actually, to call up either group to the main roster anytime soon.
No.
Moving along. Carmelo Hayes, Josh Briggs in the breakout tournament. Last week, we saw Odyssey Jones defeat Lin-Manuel Miranda, also known as Andre Chase.
My wife didn't see it at all. She's like, no, you're crazy. What are you talking about?
Tell your wife to get some glasses. Tell her I said hi. The match was a bit clunky. Almost had a disaster spot in there. Chase flipped around, saved his neck. Literally saved his neck.
Yeah. Odyssey Jones got star potential. Can see it like right away. Coming down. Music's good. Looks good. And he's got the potential to do. He didn't really sell his finisher well. Like when I say sell, I mean like just perform. But his finisher looks interesting because he basically held the dude up, turned his body, and then did like a sidewalk slam thing, which like if you can get that to look a little bit more interesting, obviously you won't be able to do that to absolutely everyone, but a 400-pound dude can do that to a lot of guys. And I think that could be a really cool finish. And he's got a look. It's good.
It feels like the finals are going to be Odyssey Jones and Duke Hudson, or Duke Hudson and Carmelo Hayes.
Yeah.
That's what I think I'm
more interested in Jones versus Hudson, but yeah, I don't know. I'm not that excited about Carmelo Hayes. He feels really generic, and was he the one who did the ruthless aggression bullshit?
Yes, that was.
Yeah, I'm already not into him.
But again, going back to the way that they did the last breakout tournament, the guy who won was ACH, right?
Yeah.
And stuff happened, and he left shortly afterwards. But I don't think they saw in him what they potentially saw long term with everyone else.
Yeah.
So having Hayes win this and get a title shot or whatever they're going to do as a prize, that kind of moves Hayes to the top of the ladder. And it's like, you know, lose it, or use it or lose it.
That's the thing. I think if anyone needs it out of this group, I think it's him, or maybe Chase, but that didn't happen, obviously. So I don't know. We got a lot of potential in this. It's a good crew. Good group of people that I'm really excited to start seeing like how they turn up for.
Caden Carter, Casey Catanzaro take on Jesse Kamea and Frankie Monet. Aaliyah is out. She's gone. She did the kisses. She's done. She's up to the main roster now. She's left the Robert Stone brand because Frankie Monet is apparently leading the Robert Stone.
What I did not expect was for Robert Stone to stick around. And it is, like I said it last week, it's still so good. He just looks so beaten down.
I'm going to say something. Let's have Robert Stone join the main roster as a rich man who manages Baron Corbin.
I think that'd be really good. I think he's great on the mic. I like him a lot as a manager. I think they should pull him up, make use of him.
The problem is Baron Corbin is also really good on the microphone. So that would be either like disastrous.
He doesn't need it. Like, yeah. But the thing is, like, they can play off each other, right? Like, you have, like, a guaranteed partner that you can actually develop a strong rapport with without actually being in a tag team, which can be, you know, I don't want to see Baron Corbin in a tag team. Although, I guess maybe we're getting KO Corbin. But
Imperium, that's Marcel Barthel and Fabian Aichner, take on Hit Row.
Sorry. I guess they're going to beat them.
Top Dollar and Ashanti the Adonis. I assume Legado del Fantasma gets involved.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Kind of a thing. Okay, you do Imperium. They're getting in on this Hit Row Legado business, let's say. Do we add MSK? Do we add Dunn and Oney Lorcan? Do we add Timmy and Tommy? Like, there are tags again in NXT.
I don't think Timmy and Tommy feature into their conversation of not being serious enough, because these are the joyless Matt is sacred people.
True.
Like, it's same with Dunn and Oney. I don't think they fit that. I think that the three that they laid out are going to be the people that they're going to spend time killing while they get to MSK, right? Like, Legado interferes this week. They take issue with that because they couldn't win with honor. So they fight them next week. And then, you know, eventually we build up to MSK.
You can always check the spoilers if we're right or wrong, because I don't know what happens next week.
I have not even looked because I don't care.
Finally, Adam Cole. I care about this one. Adam Cole, Bay, and Bronson Reed. I am all in on Bronson Reed going after the NXT title. Now, I know I just said Karrion Kross defeating Samoa Joe at SummerSlam TakeOver, but what if Joe did win and we have Bronson Reed and Samoa Joe for the title?
That would be very, very good. And you could do it pretty easily. It doesn't need to be like a grudge match. You could have Joe take the title off of Cross, and he's like, well, this is kind of unethical. I can't hold this. Who is the first reasonable competitor to step up? Bronson Reed, you've done good work. Step up. And then they do that. But
keeping in mind, Kyle O'Reilly's not done with Adam Cole.
Baby. Cool Kyle's getting his groove back.
Yeah, Cool Kyle's going to get his match back because he's got to go into Chapter 3 with Adam Cole. Baby. And it needs a stipulation. What are you going to do? You're going to do a loser leaves NXT?
To the death.
Ooh, death match in NXT. Yes. Blood and guts.
Actual death. Heart stop. Have a doctor on hand.
I mean, Adam Cole. Wouldn't that be fun? You get a guy
with a stethoscope to run in and to, like, check.
Adam Cole knows a doctor.
There you go. I don't know. Not the stethoscope using kind.
They're all the same. Doctors and dentists, they're all the same.
They're very different. It's all age old feud.
It's a conundrum. What's not a conundrum, folks, is tossing a like on the video. Thank you for hanging out with us. Leave us a 5-star review if you made it to the end of this whole audio gimmick if you're on podcast. We appreciate you hanging out with us. Friends, let's start. Tim, where can they find you on the internet?
They can find me at Tim Stone, PTIMBSTONEP on Twitter, or
if also you're live other places. Watching us right now, check out Cassidy Haynes, bodyslam.net. You can go ahead, and he's got a big exclusive he's working on dropping tonight. That's going to be good. You can leave us a 5-star review on any platform that you listen to podcasts on. We are at Tim and Joel Pod. I am at Joel Pearl, JOELPEARL. And friends, enjoy NXT. I'll see you on Sunday. Cheers.